Today, I'm going to start by reading a lovely passage of scripture. It's a great story about Isaac, and it's in Genesis chapter 26. So if you have your Bible there, why don't you turn to that right now? And if not, then you're going to see the words below me here on the screen anyway. But we're going to read Genesis chapter 26 together. And this chapter is all about Isaac. We know that Isaac is the son of Abraham. Isaac's one of the founding fathers of our faith. Abraham, then Isaac, then his son Jacob. And yet, in the Bible, we don't really hear an awful lot about Isaac. There's a few different accounts about him. We do hear his name a lot throughout Scripture. But as far as his life, we don't hear a lot about his life. Although the things that the Bible does say about him are so significant, and that's why we are going to look at it right now. You know, this story in this chapter 26 of Genesis isn't just a story about a man who's digging some wells. It might look like that to begin with, but this story has far greater purpose than that. Whenever we start to look at that, I believe that it speaks of our own significance, our lives being significant to the call and the purposes of God here on this planet Earth. And today I want to tell you that you are precious, that your life is so significant, that He has so much purpose on your life today, and just like He did on Isaac's life. So let's just look at this here. And this, I believe as well, is a prophetic picture to our lives and also to our whole church here in Armagh. I feel like God wants us to be looking at those old wells and digging those back up again. I feel like that He wants us to remember who we are in Him today and not get stuck. Okay, so here in verse 3, it's picking it up here just at the start of this chapter. Then Abraham has died, and Isaac is in a land that is foreign to him. He's in a land where there's famine in the land, and he hears the voice of God. It says that God appears to Isaac. In verse 3, God says this: "Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands." That's His promise. Let's remember that as we keep on going. "And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions." So it says, Isaac stayed in Gerar. And you know, whenever I was reading this verse, I thought, you know, it doesn't say here that Isaac was intimidated by the legacy that his father left. No, in fact, he knew he was a child of promise. His very name meant promise. He was a child of promise, and he was able to continue that legacy that his dad had left before him. He was able to walk in those shoes and in his own shoes as well, knowing his identity in God, and he knew the promises of God on his life. You know, Isaac's whole life, he had known the importance of being obedient to God. He had seen it when he was just a boy. And do you remember the story where his dad brings him up the mountain and God tells Abraham that he's to sacrifice his son? And this pains his dad, but Abraham knows that he has to do it because, you know, this is obedience to God, and God is sovereign over all. So he brings Isaac, his one and only son, the one that he had been waiting for such a long time and had been promised to him, and he brings him up the mountain and he's strapped him down and he gets ready to sacrifice him to the Lord. And then it says, just at that, then God intervenes, and there's a ram stuck in the thicket who then is able to take the place for Isaac, and Abraham is able to sacrifice that ram instead. And we know that that is a picture of what Jesus did for us as well. So when you think of Isaac and the stories that we do know about him in Scripture, we know that he values being obedient to God because he knows that God had the power to be able to save his life right when it mattered the most, and God was able to intervene there. So, you know, he also grew up knowing and really valuing God's presence in his life, knowing what it was to live in God's presence. And he saw his dad's example in that as well, that Abraham didn't go anywhere that God didn't tell him to go. So Isaac knows that, and he decides that he will obey God in this command when God says to stay there in Gerar, and he does that. So he stays there, and it says then that Isaac prospers. The next few verses say that he sows into the land, that he plants crops, and within just 1 year that there's a hundredfold reap for his harvest. And what happens is that he prospers so much that then it gets to enough's enough for the king, who had let him stay in that place. And the king then says, you know what, I want you out of here. You are too prosperous for our liking. You're too powerful for our liking, and you're a threat to us. You need to go. So the king Abimelech tells him to leave, and Isaac has to pack up and leave. He knows that his time in that place is over. And when I think about this, you know, he leaves that area, he leaves that place, and he goes out into the desert. And when you think about a desert, what is the most important life source in the desert? That's right, it's water. You're not going to survive very long if you don't have water. It then says this here in verse 17. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. He settled in the valley for a while. Then it says that Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham had died. And he gave them the same names as his father. A few weeks ago, I was sharing here online and in church about what exactly we do whenever we face trials and troubles and adversity. Where should we go to? And do you remember the point number one was, remember who God is. You know, Isaac had been told to leave that land. He had been rejected, and he was out then in the wilderness and had to try and find his way through the desert. He finds himself in the valley, and here it says that he settled in the valley. And who here watching knows that sometimes the valley, yes, it's a place that you're to go through, but the Bible also tells us in Psalms that we are to walk through the valley, that we're not to stop there for any amount of time, but he settles there. He pitches up his tent and he settles there for a while. Then, though, he starts to dig up the wells of his father. You know, Isaac knows the word of God on his life. He knows the promises of God on his life. He knows that God said that he would give him and his family and his people the whole land, all the lands around. And so he knew that, and he stands firm on that word, and he says, you know what? Those wells are my father's wells. Those are the things that my father did. And so they belong to God, they belong to me, and they are my right. And he goes and he starts to dig up these wells. What do we do whenever we get to the place where we just don't know what to do? I'm sure at that point, if he didn't have God's promises, he wouldn't have known what to do. But you know what? Today, if you're at the point where you're faced with, do I turn this way or do I turn that way? I want to tell you that you can rely on God's promises. His promises are steadfast and sure, and he will get you through this time. He loves us, loves us, loves us. It says here that he went and he undug those wells, and the Philistines had thrown all kinds of dirt into those wells to be able to block them up. They knew that those wells, Abraham's wells, were going to be a life source for Abraham's descendants in the future. And they said, you know what? We can kill them very easily by blocking up the wells. And today, I want to talk about how, you know, the wells in our lives are actually our hearts. And the world will block up the wells of our hearts very, very easily if we don't fix our eyes on Jesus, remember the promises of God, and keep on going. But you know, God is able to unblock those wells. What today has blocked up your heart? What has blocked up the well, the overflow, the well of water, the well of life in your life? What are the things? I wonder, can you think back, or maybe you can name some things right now and you just go, you know what? I used to be flowing in love and now it's blocked up. I used to be flowing in joy and now it's blocked up. I used to have friendships and now they're blocked up. I don't know what it is today. Maybe it's your peace today. Maybe it's a certain person that you've lost in your life. Whatever it is, whatever relationship breakdown, God wants you to start digging up those old wells again. and start digging them up and watch how he will restore you today. We're going to have a look at this right now. You know, there's three wells here that I want us to look at that Isaac dug up. And in verse 19, it says that Isaac's servants dug in the valley and they discovered a well of fresh water there. And verse 20, but the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Ezek because they disputed with him. This well, he named it Ezek. The name meant quarreling, division, and fighting. And you know, I know that in my own life that whenever I've been trying to follow the things of God, when I've been leading things, then it hasn't been too long before I've been faced with adversity, before I've been thrown into a fight, before I've had this person saying this and this person saying that. And you know, all of us are leaders watching this. You might be a leader in your own life. You might be a mom. You might be a dad. You might be a leader in work. And you know, you will be a leader in life. And you know, whatever that you have been doing for God, especially those times when you've stepped out for God, be prepared when you face change. Be prepared whenever you face times when you're about to take ground from the enemy, because you're going to be faced with adversity. And taking some example from how Isaac coped with that and how he handled that will really help us through these times again in our lives and tell us how we can get past these things. Isaac here, it says that he named this well the well of division. And then it says that he moved on. He didn't get caught up with the fight. You know, right now there's fights about everything. There's fights about whether to wear masks, whether to not wear masks, whether to follow the government, whether to not follow the government. There's fights about absolutely everything right now. It just feels like there's so much division going on all around us. But you know, with God, then we are united. We are united in Christ today. I want to encourage you not to get caught up in the fight. Don't get caught up in people's opinions. Keep your eyes focused on the plans and the purposes that God has on your life, on what he's called you to do. Isaac knew what the plan was. He knew that he didn't have to worry about a well whenever God had given him the whole land. He knew that he was there to possess the land. If these people wanted that little well, they could have it, no problem. And then he named that well Quarrel, and he moved on. What I'm taking from that today is that he didn't just move on and pretend that nothing happened, but he named it for what it was. He said, you know what, that well is called Quarrel. That time in my life was a time of discord. That time in my life was a time of fighting. It was a time of quarrel, but I'm not going to get stuck up in that mess. I'm not going to get caught up in that, because I know that God has great plans for my life. I'm going to leave it there. I know that God fights for me. Jesus is my defender. He is more than able to handle that well. He is more than able to bring that around for me and for my good. But I'm going to move on to the plans and purposes and promises that God has spoke over my life. I want to encourage that you with that today, that that is what God wants for you, and he has great plans and a hope for your future. Don't get caught up in the fight and fight your corner with this one. In verse 21, then it says that they then dug another well. But they quarreled over that one also, and so he named it Sitna. And when I was looking at what this word meant, the definition of this, then it says that this well, Sitna, was the well of accusation, or the well of hatred. And I'm sure that you have faced times when somebody has said something about you that just wasn't true. I'm sure you've faced times when, you know, you've heard people say words of hatred, either towards you or to somebody else around you. And again with this well, then Isaac decides that he is going to name it what it is and move on. That he's not going to get caught up in what others are saying about him. That he's not going to try and fight it, but he's going to move on. You know, sometimes when we're doing great things for God, then the enemy tries to put seeds in other people's minds. He tries to discount our character, and he tries to say bad things about us. But what does that do? It actually just gives us stepping stones to step above that there and step into the plans and purposes that God has for us. Isaac doesn't get revenge here. He doesn't throw the dirt back into the well and move on. He doesn't say, well, if I can't have that well, then you're definitely not going to have it. But he just says, you know what, if you want that, have it. I'm moving on. God bless you. I'm moving on to the things that God has for me. You know, we need to leave the past in the past. We need to leave the fights and the quarrels in the past. Allow the Lord to break through the resentment and the hurt that is blocking up your heart today and move on past those things. Forgive and forget. Thank you, Lord. So he doesn't fight for the well when God has given him the land. It says then in verse 22 that he moved on from there and he dug yet another well. And with this one, no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. You know, this is the place that we're all trying to get to, isn't it? And I want to tell you that this is the place that Jesus has for you today as you are watching. He is a place of wide open space for you to just be. He has that place and it's a resting place for you to be in today in him. You know, God has positioned you in this place of room and space for you to prosper. At the end of this verse, it says that Isaac said, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. This is the promise fulfilled in him that he has reached this place of sustenance and of prosperity. You know, God has positioned you to prosper today. He's positioned you to prosper in a wide open space. You know, I was thinking about this creatively and about how over the last few months that, you know, it's been quite hard to be creative over the last few months. I mean, you know, when it comes to like songwriting and things like that in church, we have been writing songs in the place of not knowing what we're facing. But whenever we get to a place of wide open spaces, just think of all the possibilities that God has for you. You know, whatever those dreams, whatever those visions are in your heart, God wants you to prosper in those. He wants to open up your mind wide to be able to see the things of him today, to be able to dream big. And you know, this place of room and space gets me thinking. And I started to think about our church and about how blessed we are here in Vibe, guys. How blessed we are that this is a place of room and it's a place of space, that there's accommodation for all, that there is room for you, whether you are young, whether you're old, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're employed, whether you're unemployed, that there is room and there is space for you no matter what your background is, whether it's a religious background or no religious background at all, whether you've ever walked into church or not, there is space for you in this place. And there's space for you today watching this right now with Jesus. And we want this church to reflect God's heart. There's space for you to be able to come through the doors of our church every Sunday, having nothing figured out at all, having all the questions in the world. You know, some days then I've walked into church in the past not even knowing where God was, because I've said, God, where are you in this thing that I am going through? And here we've created a space, and God has created a space for you to come, and room for you to just come and be in his presence and allow God to minister to your heart, to your mind, to your soul, to pick you up from the pit. You know, even when I was looking at this and I was looking at, you know, the wells and how long it can take to dig a well, it can take a really long time. And in those times, in Isaac's day and Abraham's day, it could have taken 2 years, maybe 4 years for them to be digging these wells down deep to be able to reach a life source. And I'm sure that for the most part, those guys felt like they were in a pit. And today, as you're watching this, you might feel like you are deep down in a dark pit, unable to get out. But I want to tell you something. You are closer than anybody here to the life source, to the water today. And it's just a matter of time before you are about to break through. And I prophesy that into your life as you are watching this today. In our church here, there is room and there's space. In God's house today, there is room and there is space for you, no matter who you are, no matter what background. He loves you so much today. You know, here there's room and there's space to dream big dreams, as I've already said, but also there is room and space here to be able to dream in such a way that you will not step on anybody else's toes. We say no to offense here. Come and dream big, and let's support each other in our dreams. Let them be sustained. Let them be provided for by a big God who is able to provide for us all here in this place. You know, I want to say, though, that if we are here for just for what we can get out of things, then we have missed it completely. In this scripture and this portion of scripture that we read, Isaac, he found the source of water. He found the source of life. He finally finds a place to belong. But notice here how he doesn't settle here. He doesn't pitch his tent. He doesn't, you know, build up a tent that they live right there at that well. But he knows and he prioritizes the presence of God instead. It says then in verse 23 that he goes up to Beersheba. So in verse 23 here it says, "From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham.'" Then it goes on in verse 25 to say that Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. And later on it says that they found water and they hit water. But, you know, what I want us to take out of this today is that he didn't stay with that well, Rehoboth. You know, he recognized that that was from God and that would be the life source for his people and for his harvest and, you know, for his cattle and his herds and his whole lifestyle and everything that God was going to do with him. But he didn't settle there. He went up to Beersheba. He went up to a higher place. He went up to where the presence of God would be. So when he went there, God met with him and appeared to him and spoke blessing over his life and said, "Do not fear. Do not fear in this land. Do not fear in this place that I have positioned you." And there he built an altar. He built an altar of worship to God. You know, it's important today that we get into God's presence, that we prioritize God's presence, that we're not just in a place of a place where God can provide for us, but that we're in a place where we can offer him something as well, that we can give him our sacrifices of praise, where we can give him our worship, we can give him our whole heart, where we can lay things down on the altar of sacrifice, where we can give him all the yucky stuff in our lives, and it can be replaced for the good stuff of God, that we build an altar of worship to him, that our lives are an altar of worship to him. Then not only that, but we read that Isaac pitched his tent there as well in Beersheba. So in Beersheba, he didn't have a well yet when he built the altar. He had the presence of God. So he builds the altar. He pitches his tent. He says, "This is where I want to dwell, in the presence of God. I mean, my guys are on down the road trying to dig another well here at Beersheba to make sure that we have some kind of way to live up here. But even if I don't get that, this is where I am pitching my tent. Because first of all, I'm prioritizing the presence of God in my life, knowing that he is the one that will sustain me, knowing that he is better than any old well, but that he will give me everything that I need. And every night and day and during the day, I'm going to present myself with the Lord, position myself in the Lord's presence." Also, he goes to work in that place as well. He goes to work digging a well. And today we might need to go to work digging into God's word and finding out what he is saying to us. And that's why we're getting around the word of God together here online as well and in church in person. But you know, there's a way of living in God's presence at new heights, beyond the hurt, beyond the rejection, beyond the pain, and above the chaos, and above the busyness of life. There's a place of rest and belonging for you and for me today in God's presence. You know, Jesus needs to be our source. It says there that they hit fresh running water in Beersheba. And Jesus is our source of fresh and running water. In Psalm 91, verse 1, it tells us that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know him as your source of life and rest today? Are you dwelling in his presence? Are you dwelling in his shelter and in his wings today? Is that where you have pitched your tent? I want to encourage you not to pitch your tent anywhere else, but in the presence of God. He is our life source today. Have you pitched your tent in the wrong places? That's the question today. I'm asking myself that question. Are there any areas of my life or of my thinking or of my heart where I have pitched my tent in the wrong places? Maybe you've pitched your tent today in the place of quarrel. Maybe it's back at that well. Have you aligned yourself with injustice? Have you married offense? Have you given birth to hatred and rebellion? Have you pitched your tent in the place of accusation? Are you back there in that place of trying to justify yourself? Are you spending all your time and effort trying to clear your name, prove yourself so that you'll be accepted by those that rejected you? You know, if you haven't reached burnt out yet by doing that, then very soon you will, believe me. I know it's more important what God says about you. It's more important to know that you're a child of promise, that you're a child of legacy, that you have everything that your Father has set aside for you, that the promises that he has spoken over your life still stand today. You're a child of promise today, and you belong to God, and he is your defender. Have you been pulled away from the spiritual things of God and the plans and the purposes for your life? You know, it won't be long before the enemy comes back and throws dirt down those wells and blocks up the life source that you once had. Give those things to God. Say, God, you're my defender, and walk away in the other direction and keep on pursuing the things of God in your life. You know, it reminds us here about John 4:4, and I want us to quickly look at that together before we finish today. But John 4:4 is the story of Jesus. And it says that Jesus came to Jacob's well. Jacob was Isaac's son. And all those years later, Jesus met a woman at Jacob's well. It says that he passed through Samaria and he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar. And that was near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and so Jesus was there sitting beside the well. It says in verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," because his disciples had gone to buy him food. In verse 9, it says that the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' then you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Speaking about himself. And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did as his sons and livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." Speaking of that water from that well. "But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, and this is what we say to Jesus today. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus is the living water today. And those who thirst and drink from him will never be thirsty again. He is your life source today. He wants us to come to him today. Then in John chapter 7, verse 37, let me just read this to you. It says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Today, out of your heart, whenever you have come to Jesus, for your source of life. When you've come to Jesus, depending on him for your joy, for your peace, for your love, for your goodness, for all those fruits of the Spirit today, when you come to him, depending on him for everything, then there is a river of living water that will rise up from within you. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Today, he wants to touch you wherever you're at. He wants to touch you right now. And you know, we have been experiencing so much of the Holy Spirit recently in our meetings on Wednesday nights here in church. And I encourage you, if you can get to those, then please do. But the Holy Spirit wants to top you up today. He wants to baptize you afresh today. He wants to fill you to overflowing. He is your sustenance. He is your source. He is your guide. He is your friend. Come to him. Pitch your tent where he is. Dwell in his presence today, and you will lack nothing today. I want to just pray over you as we finish today, and I thank you for joining me today. And we love the Lord, and I know that his promises for you are yes and amen. Let's just pray. God, I thank you for every person here watching. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your promises on our lives. And today, for whoever is watching and joining today, Lord, I pray your promises to be fulfilled on their lives right now, Lord God. Lord, we just give you those areas of our hearts, those areas that we have stopped and pitched our tent in, those places of fighting and those places of accusation, those places of trying to clear our own name, those places of trying to get some peace. And Lord Jesus, right now, we give you those things and we say, God, will you do what you can do in those areas, Lord? Will you be our defender, Lord God? Will you come, Lord? We claim your victory over those areas of our lives. And now, Lord, we kick the dust off our feet and we walk on in your path, in your direction. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Lord, we are going your way and only your way. Lord, I pray, Lord, your blessing on every person's life that is joining us today. Lord, will we see significant increase in prosperity, Lord, in the lives of those who have laid those things down and chosen to follow you, Lord Jesus. Will we know your joy, your peace, your love, your goodness in our lives afresh, Lord, in the lives of our families and the generations that are to follow the Lord. And Lord, here in Armagh, Lord, and in every area, Lord, that of the people, Lord, that are watching today, Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, your prosperity over those areas. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We know, Lord, that your promises are yes and amen, and that you love us with an unending love. And Lord, today we give you our love in return, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we open up our heart. We say, Lord Jesus, make our hearts soft again to receive your word. Make our hearts soft again to be able to hear your word afresh, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, for a living water to be able to flow right now, Lord, in your name, Lord Jesus, and to carry on, Lord, throughout our lives, Lord God. Will you be the source of life to every person watching? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We pray you're blessed today watching this. Have a great week, guys. Thank you for joining us.